Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Thursday's here. Welcome in. Spencer on Sports here on 1600 KGYM. Also on the FM dial, 102.3 and 106.3 in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City, respectively. Talking sports with you for the next hour. Kicking off local programming, 4 hours of it coming your way every Monday through Friday from 2 until 6 here on KGYM. 319-366-1600. Talk or text line open for you here, as always, on another afternoon here in Eastern Iowa, or no matter where you're listening from. You can listen to us online. Mention the on-air ways you can listen on your radio. You can find us online, kgymradio.com. Also on the free-to-download app for your smartphone and on your smart speaker as well. We have a poll question for you today. It has to do with preseason in the NFL. The preseason in general starts up tonight. We had the Hall of Fame game a week ago tonight. Everybody gets in on the action starting tonight, going into tomorrow and through the weekend. Curious to know what you think about the NFL preseason. And I came up with this question. It's a fill in the blank, essentially. Our poll question, the NFL scheduling 3 preseason games is blank. And we gave you 3 options to help fill in that blank. Is it too much? Are 3 preseason games too much? Is it too little? Remember, we went from 4 to 3. Is that too little in your mind, or is it just right? You can fill in the blank courtesy of Hawkeye Title and Settlement, part of our poll question at kgymradio.com. Might get into that. We'll for sure talk about what we can see on the field tonight and into the weekend here later on in the program. Just 2 games tonight. Also got some Major League Baseball games going on, 4 currently in progress on a lighter day of action, 8 total games in Major League Baseball today. Getaway day for most teams, but a few teams of local and regional interest in action today. We'll talk about that. And had a no-hitter last night in baseball. Michael Lorenzen of the Philadelphia Phillies tossing a no-no against the Washington Nationals. Get a reaction to that. And wasn't the only great story coming out of Philly yesterday. Player who's had, well, quite a few at-bats in the major leagues. 1 swing of the bat, his MLB debut, a home run. And he just so happens to be a former Milwaukee Brewers prospect. I have nothing to complain about. Producer Isaac, the Brewers came back to win yesterday. I know Scott, you and Ash and Brian Haas in between this show, Spencer on Sports, and the gym class, they're like, asked me yesterday, what's going on? Are they winning? And I said, well, currently, but just wait. And, well, Brewers nearly blew it, but thanks to a throwing error by the Rockies shortstop, I don't have anything to complain about. So we're good. What's new on that side of the glass?
Nothing really. Just getting ready for NFL season. And again, still getting ready for soccer season. Big Netherlands match today. Oh, so yeah, I got the orange on. Yep. The orange kit. I have decided I think I'm going to get the kit of whatever team wins the Women's World Cup.
Are you? Okay.
Unless it's the Netherlands, because I already have, I think, so, 3 Netherlands kits, so I don't need another one.
Sure.
But if it's anyone else, I'll get the kit of their team.
You're going to jump on the bandwagon, essentially, and just buy the...
It just gives me a reason to get another kit.
There you go.
I just like getting international kits. I think they look nice. I also saw the Manchester United. They released a 3rd kit the other day. It's the one of their better kits that I've seen in recent years. Yeah, and that's my favorite team, so I might have to get that too.
There you go. That's like me in baseball caps. Like I have too many hats at homes. I only have 1 home. Why am I using the plural reference there? But it's like me in baseball caps. Like I have teams that I follow. They're not my favorite team. The Brewers are my favorite team, but there's other teams that I follow that, you know, if I wanted to just vary it up, you know, part of me wants to buy it, but then part of me says, do I really need another cap hanging on my hat rack at home? And then I usually just move on. But there are some really nice caps out there. Speaking of caps, did you see this? I think this came out last week and we just didn't talk about it, but the NFL sideline hats this year are some of the worst I have ever seen. I saw the Packers one in particular because they put out a big blast for the Packers Pro Shop. Like, hey, get your authentic sideline gear today. And it's like half like it's split in half. One side has the Packers logo.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
One side
has
the NFL shield, and it just looks absolutely horrendous. I haven't seen the other like team's logo, the other team's caps, but I'm assuming if it's like authentic sideline gear, like everybody has it. And the Packers one is just it's disgustingly ugly, and it makes you wonder. I think New Era is the, maybe it's Nike, I'm not sure, but New Era has some good ones. They have some really terrible designs, and that falls into the terrible category. So I will be saving my money on that for sure.
Yeah, I think they're probably maybe trying to go off the, what was it, Rob Lowe? He had like the NFL, right?
Was it the Super Bowl he was at? Yeah.
He just had NFL. That's it. No,
hey, we got
no
Rob Lowe in the stands. Like
I think he has like a bunch of other, or he has a couple other ones, like one for MLB. MLB hat. So I think they're trying to go that route. But yeah, I'm looking at him. Not great.
No.
Not a fan.
No, they are terrible. If you the listener have not seen them, save your money. I would just stick with the, like, some people want the authentic sideline cap, the draft cap, and stuff like that, but just stick with what you have. That's my advice. And apologies to anybody from any of those hat makers that might be listening to the program here today. Like I said, lots to get to on the show today. Talk a little college football. Not too much in terms of realignment today. There was an update last night from ESPN's Pete Thamel about the ACC and their discussions to add Cal and Stanford. It sounds like things have hit a snag, and I still think it makes absolutely zero sense to add Cal and Stanford, but we'll get to that coming up. Might hear a little bit from Matt Campbell, head coach of Iowa State. He spoke with the media yesterday, talking about the quarterback situation in Ames, obviously with Hunter Deckers facing those criminal charges that we talked about a few weeks back. His eligibility essentially up in the air, questions about that still up in the air. It's essentially an open competition. We'll hear from Matt Campbell coming up before 3 o'clock. Mentioned NFL, we'll get to that, and Major League Baseball before 3 o'clock. But want to start with this. This came across my timeline and into my inbox earlier today, and this is a really awesome opportunity. And we're going into women's basketball season, and yes, we're talking about women's basketball on August 10th. That seems crazy to think, but the Iowa women's team expectations have really never been higher after the run that they made yesterday. ESPN retweeted this, and I think a lot of us got tricked into thinking it was new, but this is from right after the NCAA tournament run, where Iowa, again, was national runner-up, losing to LSU in the Final Four last year. But it was, stage was already kind of set, right, for the Iowa women's team after the run that they made last year. Caitlin Clark coming back for what could be her final season, could be 2 years left in Iowa City, still to be determined there. But expectations had never been higher, ESPN ranking them at third in their way too early top 25, which I think is almost criminally early, coming out essentially after the buzzer sounds on the national championship game. But you start a season where you have a lot of fan interest. A lot of people are going to be watching your team because of the run you made, because of a superstar like Caitlin Clark and the teammates around her. I feel like you got to start it off in a big way, and Iowa is certainly going to do that. In case you didn't see this, earlier today, Iowa, for the first time in program history, the women's basketball team is going to host an outdoor scrimmage. Yes, an outdoor scrimmage, obviously weather permitting, but it's going to be at Kinnick Stadium, and it's called the Crossover at Kinnick on Sunday, October 15th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Iowa is going to face DePaul in this outdoor scrimmage. And, I mean, this is, you know, you could conceivably, and I think the goal is, and I know the goal is, because I read a quote from Lisa Bluter talking about this, to sell out the stadium and really set a record here for attendance and really show, you know, the country what Iowa basketball and the fandom is all about. But, man, what an awesome opportunity. And I think it kind of sets the stage for what's anticipated to be another interesting season in Iowa women's basketball. But again, this is coming up October 15th, 3 o'clock at Kinnick Stadium. There's kind of an interesting way this is going to be broken up. Ticket sales actually start next Tuesday for women's basketball season ticket holders. They have access to purchase tickets starting at 9 o'clock Tuesday morning. football season ticket holders and contributors to the university get a crack at tickets on August 16th, and then the general public goes live on August 17th. And then proceeds, and this is the neat part about this, not only do you have two women's basketball teams, Iowa, who was national runner-up last year, a DePaul team that was below 500 last year but still has had solid women's basketball play in the past. You've got those two teams playing essentially on the field at Kinnick Stadium. Now they're going to put a basketball court down, obviously. You're not going to be trying to dribble around on the AstroTurf or have those little black pellets popping up every time you try to dribble the basketball. But the proceeds from the event all go to the Stead Family Children's Hospital in Iowa City. So a really neat event. Not only do you have, the excitement started with women's basketball with this event, you're playing it outside at Kinnick Stadium where, you could conceivably probably sell out the entire thing. You're hoping for good weather. You're hoping for sunshine and maybe 70 degrees on a nice fall Sunday afternoon at Kinnick. But you're also doing some good in the community with this, with the event coming up again on October 15th. It's also going to be broadcast live on Big Ten Plus and the Iowa Radio Network. So I think, Isaac, a really cool event. I mean, you're seeing more and more of these things with teams kind of stepping out and playing, uncommon opponents or doing kind of things to get the season, get the excitement built. And there's already plenty of excitement for Iowa women's basketball in particular, considering, like I said, the finish they had to 2022. But I think this really will light the fire, if you will, for excitement for 2023. Playing at Kinnick, the opponent, there are certainly better teams you could play. DePaul, not the strongest opponent, especially record-wise last year, but a team that, you could conceivably, if they have a good year, maybe you get paired with in an NCAA tournament regional. I don't know. It just depends on how they shake out bracket-wise, obviously. But overall, I think a pretty positive way, a pretty awesome way to start up the season. And plus, you get that doing good in the community, continuing that kind of goodwill you've shown to the Children's Hospital right across the roadway there. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you should definitely capitalize on the popularity that exists in the team right now. Also, I don't know how many tickets are going to be sold or anything like that, mm-hmm. but it might give people an opportunity that might not be able to see the women's basketball games this year because it is going to be so popular. So yeah. I assume, obviously, Kinnick has a much higher capacity than Carver does, so I assume might be able to get some more seats in there for people who, during the season, aren't able to find regular season tickets. So, yeah, again, just capitalize on the popularity while it's hot and really go into a great cause there in the community.
There is a rain or shine thing to this. I was reading the press release from the University of Iowa. There are going to be rain or shine tickets that are going to be sold that will allow people to attend the event, at Kinnick or at Carver-Hawkeye Arena in case there is inclement weather. So if you want to be able to see this exhibition match, this scrimmage, regardless of what the weather is like, you'll need to buy that package. And it sounds like if you don't buy that package and you just have tickets to the event in Kinnick, you're out of luck essentially. But there's only X amount of seats inside Carver. There's close to 70K in Kinnick, right? So that certainly makes sense. But overall, I think pretty awesome event to kick things up. What do you think about the event? You excited for it? 319-366-1600. I'm sure the answer is yes. But do you plan to attend? Are you eagerly awaiting the chance to see basketball played inside Kinnick Stadium? You tell me. 319-366-1600. Good question from 8699 in the text line about the Caitlin Madness, as they term it in their text. Has anyone mentioned if Caitlin Madness has been present at their games in Europe and big crowds? I haven't seen – I've seen the pictures they've been posting on Instagram and Facebook. I know there was quite a few, and I don't know if there's people who live in Europe that are Iowa fans or they've traveled with the team or whatever, but there were a good number of Iowa fans in the crowd, and I think Gabby Marshall had a picture taken with some people wearing Iowa gear, so there are fans in the crowd that are there. I'm not sure if the madness aspect is there, but certainly is interesting to see them go across the pond. I always use that term, but go overseas. That's the better. I've crossed the pond is what they say when they talk about like London and England and stuff. But I'm sure it's there. I'm sure a national brand, like there are, you know, expatriates, right? People who moved over there from America. There's people who follow women's basketball in general across the world. So I'm sure there's probably a good number of folks who realize, hey, wait, isn't that, it would be interesting to see. And I'm sure we'll see more from the Iowa social media department as they document that trip, the number of people that that maybe go out of their way to try to get a glimpse of Caitlin Clark or get her autograph. And I'm not sure it'd be the same as what you've seen here in, you know, Iowa. Go back to that Iowa Cubs game earlier this summer, early June, I think it was, where they had like, 6 to 8 hours wait, people waiting in line like all day just to get an autograph and get a bobblehead, which then, of course, legions of people then decided to flip on eBay for $300 for a bobblehead, which as a sports collector, I collect all different sports, not just Hawkeye stuff, Packers, Brewers, Bucks, whatever. I would like one, be cool to have, but not at $300 on eBay. That's my little collector's corner complaint, I guess, for today. 319-366-1600. Cajun Troy says, that's Football Sunday. You're right, Cajun Troy. October 15th is Football Sunday. But if you love the Hawkeyes, if you love women's basketball, I think you'll make time to see it, right? It'll be on TV. Even if you can't go, team's got a big game that week. Maybe you can set up the second TV and fire up BTN Plus. What are the highlight games now? Now I got to see. October 15th. We got Bears-Vikings. Noon on Fox. So that'll be done by the time you get to Kinnick Stadium if you got tickets. Sunday night game as of now is Bills and Giants on that day. Who do the Packers play? Packers are off that week. So there you go. If you wanted to go, you're a Packer fan. Don't have to worry about it being Football Sunday. 319-366-1600. Iowa women's basketball team announcing this outdoor scrimmage with a crossover at Kinnick again October 15th at 3 o'clock. Kyle Huseman from Hawkeye Report shared this. He wrote up an article on the event and kind of the history that could be made here. The NCAA women's basketball attendance record, by the way, according to Kyle, 29,619. And that was from the 2002 Final Four, where UConn, Tennessee, Oklahoma, and Duke set the record, as did the championship game between UConn and Oklahoma. So obviously, you know, I think you could easily bust past that, right? Just that having Kinnick as an option. Does it count if you play it? Like, if there's bad weather on the 15th, does the record not get there then? I don't know. It's a scrimmage. It's a charity scrimmage. So
does it even count in the record books?
No,
as a,
it does not. Yeah, no, so it's just a, from what I understand, and I'm not up on 100% up on the NCAA rules, but you can have these scrimmages. They're usually secret scrimmages because you're not allowed to publicize them. But since this one is for charity, you saw this with COVID-19, I think after the pandemic. Well, I mean, technically still not done with the pandemic, but in like 2021, right before the 2021 season, a lot of teams had like COVID relief scrimmages, and they were allowed to sell tickets and tell people about it because it was technically for, you know, helping out doctors and nurses and people who had hit hard times during the pandemic. So I think that's part of it. But 29,619 is the record, and I think you easily bust by that for this event. 319-366-1600. Got a little bit more college stuff to get to, get into the latest college football news. Mentioned realignment. Not anything new in particular on the front today when it comes to anybody moving anywhere. Like I said, top of the show, it sounds like the talks between Stanford and Cal and the ACC have hit a snag. A lot of interesting stuff surrounding that. We'll talk about that, plus hear a little bit from Matt Campbell from Iowa State, head coach of the Cyclones. He spoke yesterday about the quarterback competition that's going on over in Ames. We'll get to that coming up here in just a little bit. Spencer on Sports with you from the Circus Sports Iowa studios on Eastern Iowa's home for sports, KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And it's going to be a bit of a warm and humid day today. We'll then have clouds building in this evening, and rain chances will be increasing as we head overnight into early tomorrow morning. Some showers and storms will be coming through after 3 to 4 a.m., and some could contain gusty winds and heavy rain. We'll dry out during the day tomorrow. Temperatures will climb into the upper 80s, and we'll then have the chance for some additional storms tomorrow evening, some of which may be strong. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
The biggest pro football contests in Vegas are back and bigger than ever, with $14 million in guaranteed prizes, only at Circa Sports. Enter in Nevada, play from anywhere.
Two ways to win and no rake. Play Circa Million. Make five picks against the spread each week with quarterly and full season payouts, or join Circa Survivor, where you select one team each week straight up, last the longest to win it all.
$14 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
What amazing feat can you accomplish in 2 seconds? You can shoot the winning shot of the championship game. You can rocket 110 feet into the sky in the world's fastest elevator. You can even perfect your yodel. But maybe the most monumental feat you can accomplish in 2 seconds is saving a life, your life, just by buckling your seatbelt. Click it or ticket. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Make sure your cooling system is ready for the long haul this summer with preventative maintenance from E&J Geothermal. This smart step keeps you ahead of frustrating emergencies, is proven to extend the life of your cooling system, and can catch a small issue before it turns into a huge expense. Plus, E&J Geothermal is an expert in helping maintain your cooling system. Don't let the summer heat win. Schedule preventative maintenance today, or ask E&J Geothermal about installing a new energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal system. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
Saving all your automotive needs with 11% off everything at Menards. From tools and accessories to maintenance and everything in between. Get superior engine protection with Valvoline High Mileage Motor Oil. It's a synthetic blend to maximize engine life in vehicles over 75,000 miles. Pick up a quart for only $3.99 after 11% rebate now at Menards. Good through August 13th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Advanced Electrical Services is looking for an experience-based journeyman and electrician helpers. This is an excellent chance to start your career or take it up a notch. You'll work full-time, year-round. Come use your skills to do high-quality work for this local, family-owned company with a positive culture and top reputation in the community. Visit advancedelectrical.com to see what they're about. Then call to set up a time to apply in person. Advanced Electrical Services in Iowa City is an equal opportunity employer. Women and minorities are encouraged to apply.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
227 on a Thursday edition of Spencer on Sports. With you here, KGYM, 319-366-1600. Gym class coming up between 3 and 4. The Spencer on Sports Takeover, day one of two of the Todd Brommelkamp Show, coming up between 4 and 6. Yes, you get triple of me today. Not triple of me. That would be weird. 3 hours of me on the radio. This hour, then 4 to 6. So if you missed anything in this hour, hey, come on back. Just going to talk about the same stuff. No. I got original content coming up between 4 and 6. Show prep, folks. Show prep. Important part of radio. 319-366-1600. Cajun Troy says her protest of the Iowa women's crossover at Kinnick. She said that's football Sunday earlier. Troy said, got to get your money's worth on NFL package on YouTube without YouTube TV. So I guess, hey, if you love the NFL, nobody's making you go. I think it's a cool event. I think we're going to see, Isaac, you said this, you're going to see people who can't come to Iowa games during the season maybe check that. I mean, if this is your first experience, like seeing Iowa in person, what better way to do it inside of, you know, a football stadium? Kind of cool, hyped up event, right? It seems like a neat opportunity to see the team play. So I think you're going to see a lot of people come just for kind of the novelty of it too. Like, mm-hmm. You know, check off kind of a neat experience. Like, man, I got to see Caitlin Clark play in a football stadium. You're never going to see that happen again. So, pretty cool to see.
I think it's the same reason a lot of people went to the wrestling match in Kinnick against Oklahoma State in 2015.
15, right.
Yeah. So I think probably so. It's kind of a novelty thing, and also it's just a really cool thing that you can say, hey, I was there when this awesome kind of historic thing happened.
Totally. 319-366-1600. All right, a little bit more from the college game here before we get into a little NFL and some baseball before the end of the show. It is watch list season that does continue, and we were talking yesterday about Iowa, the football team in particular, being a dark horse, a potential to be a dark horse candidate for a Big Ten championship. And there's someone who texted in yesterday, I remember from our discussion, talking about Nick Jackson, the linebacker for the Hawkeyes, the transfer in from Virginia. Well, a lot of good things are expected of him. He's got kind of it's a tall task, right? Coming in, replacing two really good linebackers, including a first-round draft pick in Jack Campbell. I mean, I wouldn't certainly want to be in that position, but if you're a football player, you certainly are up to the challenge. And Nick Jackson, the transfer from Virginia, was named to the Dick Butkus Award watch list. That goes to the nation's most outstanding linebacker. And Campbell was the award winner last year. So if Nick Jackson does certainly live up to those expectations, I know there's some people who are very high on what he brings to this Iowa football program. Jackson coming in off a second team All-ACC, led the team in tackles with 104 and quarterback hurries, and had 5 sacks a year ago with the University of Virginia. If you can do that and more, you certainly, considering the track record that Iowa linebackers have, are in a good position to be recognized for that award. But Nick Jackson named to the watch lists for the Dick Butkus Award. And surprise, surprise, Cooper DeJean, stunning development, named to the Jim Thorpe Award watch list. That goes to the best defensive back in college football, Desmond King, winner of the award back in 2015. Josh Jackson and Riley Moss also were candidates for it, did not win, but were candidates for it back in 2017 and 2021, respectively. Number of awards, watch lists for Iowa players, Cooper DeJean on, well, 3 in particular by himself, but Eric All, Nick Jackson, Caleb Johnson, Logan Jones, Luke Lachey, Cade McNamara, Drew Stevens, and Torrey Taylor, all on award watch lists here for the 2023 season. We'll be watching them play very soon at Kinnick Stadium and elsewhere around the country. Pivoting to Iowa State, and then a little realignment news here today. Iowa State head coach Matt Campbell says it's going to take this entire month to really determine who the starting quarterback is going to be for the season opener for the Cyclones coming up on September 2nd against the Northern Iowa Panthers. Of course, last year, Hunter Decker started all 12 games. He is not participating in fall camp after being charged in that gambling investigation. That leaves Rocco Becht, Tanner Hughes, the JUCO transfer, and true freshman J.J. Cole, who are competing for that job. Here's what Matt Campbell had to say about the quarterback battle going into the rest of the month of August. This is from yesterday afternoon in Ames.
The two things that I need to see, number one is, can you lead the team? You know, good or bad, can you be the guy that everybody in that locker room believes in, and can you lead the football team? And then I think the second thing is you got to take care of the football. When you've seen us play great quarterback play at Iowa State over the last, you know, 7 years, what those guys have done elite is they've been able to take care of the football. I think all those other things will come, but I think those two things are first and foremost.
Campbell yesterday also saying he's not going to rule out playing multiple quarterbacks in the opener against UNI, and it's something he has done in the past at Iowa State and, of course, as the head coach at Toledo.
Today, if we were playing a football game, you would go into the game and all three players would play in the football game. Now, is that where we're at as we continue to move through camp? That's why you have practice in camp and you continue to watch it. But, you know, I think those are things for us that we would certainly look into. And, you know, we know how to handle those situations for sure.
Iowa State's Matt Campbell speaking there. We'll have more from the Cyclones as we get closer and closer to the start of the season for them as well. We are, of course, your home for Cyclone Sports here in Eastern Iowa. First coaches show of the year is coming up Let's see here. What, 3 weeks from yesterday? It's now on Tuesdays, at least for the football season. So no longer Monday night show, but a Tuesday night show at 6:30, same time. Got that for you. And then the game itself against UNI coming up on Saturday, September 2nd, which is 3 weeks from this Saturday. We'll have the full broadcast schedule, of course, posted for you at KGYMradio.com. A couple of other college notes to get to. One, neglected to mention this. This is interesting, kind of a interesting back and forth. We've talked about the Big Ten, and this has to do with expansion and the Big Ten now going to 18 teams, of course, in 2024. KXNO Radio in Des Moines reported earlier today around the lunch hour that they had a source who reported the Big Ten football championship game is set to be played at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas in the near future. Their source said it is not going to be a permanent move away from its current site in Indianapolis, but their reporting did say at least a couple of title games in Las Vegas are coming. That has since been countered by Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic, who quote tweeted or quote X'd or quote posted or whatever KXNO on Twitter, Auerbach saying a Big Ten spokesperson officially and categorically denied that report. So either the Big Ten doesn't want that news out there yet, or some bad info given to our colleagues over there at KXNO, or a little too early on that. Not sure what's happening there, but Big Ten, according to Nicole Auerbach, says not necessarily true. I feel like I wouldn't be surprised if the Big Ten championship game does move west. We saw that with the basketball tournament back in, what was it, 2014 and 2015. They played it in Madison Square Garden, which was just bizarre. The Big Ten Madison Square Garden, what? But you're welcoming in Rutgers and Maryland, and then you had the, I think Washington, D.C. had the Big Ten tournament as well. I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. I don't think it makes much sense, considering it's all one big conference and you're looking at likely Ohio State and Michigan probably playing for the championship. What's the use of sending them to Las Vegas to play a game when you could just play it in Indy? Pardon me for bumping the mic there. Play it in Indy, and then it's close by for everybody. Vegas is a destination, obviously, and they've had good success with the Pac-12 title game there the last, it was just last year with USC and Utah, right, at Allegiant Stadium. But I wouldn't be surprised if we eventually get there. If the Big Ten keeps expanding, we have a full Western division, basically. But as of now, that report from KXNO has been refuted by the Big Ten. I guess we'll eventually see what happens, but it just still doesn't feel right. Washington and Oregon are Big Ten schools. What are we doing here? It still feels weird to say that. Imagine what happened. Imagine how weird it will feel when 2024 actually comes, shows up, and you open up the Phil Steele magazine and, wait, the Big Ten section is like a third of the magazine. What's going on? Yeah, that's what happens with conference realignment. 319-366-1600, last college football note I'll get to here today. Has to do with more realignment. ACC presidents met on Wednesday. And sounds like, according to ESPN's Pete Thamel, the pursuit of Cal and Stanford for membership in the ACC has, quote, hit significant roadblocks. No vote was taken. Conversation about expansion is expected to continue. But as of now, Cal and Stanford are not right now part of the ACC or joining the ACC. SMU also noted Atlantic Coast City, Dallas, Texas, has been in talks, or at least part of the discussion about bringing their talents, the Mustangs, to the ACC. Those conversations, according to ESPN. Again, as of this point, things could change. Remember, last Friday we had the 11th hour basically come out, the Pac-12 staying together. And then in a matter of like an hour and a half, everybody was scattering themselves to the wind and jumping for a life raft, essentially. We'll see how this all plays out. But as of now, there are roadblocks to bringing in Cal and Stanford to the ACC. Interesting part of Pete Thamel's reporting, Notre Dame apparently has been pushing the ACC to add Stanford and Cal. Notre Dame, of course, is a member of the ACC in all sports except football. They do get a vote on expansion, and of course they have a rivalry with Stanford. Multiple athletic directors, according to Pete Thamel, have questioned why anyone in the league would listen to Notre Dame. Interesting. Does Notre Dame not have as much sway as they'd like in the ACC? I don't know, but that was an interesting piece of the article here from Pete Thamel. But I'm not convinced this is done. I feel like we've gone full stupid in conference realignment, and we did when USC and UCLA came in the Big Ten. This is not a new thing. We've gone full stupid, but I just – it's weird to see Oregon, Washington, USC, and UCLA listed as Big Ten schools. And if we're going full stupid, you may as well just – Cal, Stanford, Hawaii,
anyone else,
San Jose State,
yeah,
Northern Arizona, Western Colorado. Is Western Colorado actually a school? Just throw in some NAIA schools. Hey, guess what? You're in the Big Ten now. If we're going full stupid, you may as well just make it absolutely stupid and go from there.
Yeah. If Notre Dame really wanted Stanford and Cal to join the ACC, they could just easily say, we will join, our football program will join the ACC if you include Stanford and Cal in the ACC.
Right.
I have zero doubt that the ACC would think twice about that. I think if Notre Dame really, really wanted that, they'd just say, yeah, we'll fully enter the ACC. And the ACC would be like, okay, awesome. Stanford and Cal are in, so is Notre Dame now.
Right,
but,
yeah.
And so,
but they want to stay independent, yeah. So they want to kind of push the ACC towards doing something that maybe doesn't make sense. And just based on what Pete Thamel is saying, there's a bunch of schools. There are schools who support it. But there are other schools that are like, why are we adding Stanford and Cal? What is the point of this? And they're actually doing what college administrators should do and look out for
the students, yeah,
the coaches. I mean, the coaches, okay, like the coaches make millions of dollars, and I don't think anybody's crying tears for them, you know. But at the same time, is it worth it to travel from Raleigh, North Carolina, say you're at NC State or something, fly literally across the country to go play at Cal for a conference game? And that's not just for football. That's baseball. That's softball. That's track. That's whatever other sports that are offered between the two. Yeah.
It will be interesting to see. I don't know what conference makes the next move. I always thought it was going to be the Pac-12 just because I thought the Pac-12 had to make a move.
And now they're dead.
Now they didn't make any move, and then we see what happened. So I honestly think the Big Ten and SEC are done for minute here until maybe it gets closer to the media rights deal. So
yeah.
I think for a little bit, but I guess you never know. Right now everything's so weird, but it will be interesting to see what sort of conference makes the next big splash in realignment.
Interesting line from Pete Thamel's story here. There is a deadline this coming Tuesday for schools to notify the ACC if they want to leave and change conferences for 2024. And people are pointing that out because, remember, Florida State, it was a week or two ago when this whole realignment, we were spinning the wheel of realignment, and we may be spinning it even more. Florida State said, well, there's a good chance we may have to leave the ACC if we don't get what we want. These revenue models are just ridiculous. Well, we may know more by next Tuesday if Florida State wants to jump. And there was some people sharing opinions like, why would Florida State leave? The SEC, we played the audio from Greg Sankey the other day. It basically said, we're done. Like we don't need to add anybody. We've got what we want. And
baloney.
The other, yeah, right.
Yeah.
And I take his words with a massive grain of salt because the SEC sees what the Big Ten has done. And like we talked about yesterday or a couple days ago with the scheduling potential for the Big Ten to move to 10 conference games, the SEC's in competition. I don't believe him one bit where he says, we're done. We're good. We're the good old boys. We're the good guys in all this. No, you're not. You didn't have to take Texas and Oklahoma, but you did. And that set off where we are now. So I guess still a wait and see, but latest report from Pete Thamel was significant roadblocks to adding Cal and Stanford in, yes, the Atlantic Coast Conference. 2:44, quick 60-second timeout. Talk some NFL and some baseball coming up in just a little bit.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online? Just go to 4hymns.com/joy. Through Hymns, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and trusted generic alternatives to the name brands. Add up to 95% off. That's right, get generic for Viagra, the same active ingredient as brand name Viagra, but for 95% less. It's the same medication, still prescribed by a licensed medical provider, but with zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, 4hymns.com/joy. That's 4hymns.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
Back at 2:45, Spencer on Sports here on a Thursday, 10th day of August of 2023, 319-366-1600. Gym class on the way. Todd Brommelkamp Show with me, sitting in for Todd, coming up after 4. 319-366-1600. Remind you of our poll question at KGYMRadio.com. The preseason for everybody except the Browns and Jets, they are already underway, but preseason getting underway tonight. Curious to know what you think about the amount of preseason games. The NFL scheduling three preseason games is blank. That's our poll question at KGYMRadio.com. We gave you three options. Is it too much? Is it too little? Or is it just right in your opinion? So far, the leader in the clubhouse is just right. And the more I think about it, I think we can all agree that four was just way too many preseason games, especially after you get past the third, which is always seen as that dress rehearsal preseason game, right? That's where if you're going to see the starters, you're going to, you know, see them play. Maybe they play a half. It's the last chance for, you know, maybe them to see any time in the preseason. And then that fourth preseason game was always the guys who are roster bubble guys. Maybe it's the second and third quarterback battling it out to see that roster spot. It's running backs, it's wide receivers, see if they can make enough plays in the game to solidify their spot on the 53-man roster, whatever it is. Well, with the addition of the extra regular season game, they took that away, that fourth preseason game, and gave us three. And I haven't heard a lot, to be honest with you, about, we got to cut down the preseason or keep it the way it is. So I'm just curious what the general public thinks right now about the amount of preseason games. I think, you know, being fair to the players, you know, just thinking about like guys that might be on the roster bubble, I think you need more than two preseason games because you can only do so much in practice, right? And scrimmages, right? You need to see them go up against another team who's scheming against you. You need that live game action as meaningless essentially as it is in the preseason. So I think they're fine with three for now, but I still feel like there is a number of people who would like to see it cut down to two. And I'm sure there are people out there too that say, just do away with the preseason in general. Just have camp, have an extended camp and let it play out the way it plays out. But I don't think the NFL is ever going to go away from those type of exhibition games, right?
No, for sure not. I usually, when it comes to things like this, like adding or subtracting games, I usually just kind of lean on what the players say. And as long as the players are like, I'm good with three preseason games, I'm good with three preseason games. I mean, like, I didn't think that they would want the extra regular season game, and they did. They agreed to it in the CBA, and it seemed like it was pretty well liked. Surprising. I thought that was kind of surprising. But since they liked it, I was like, I'm all for it. And so, similar with this, I think the CBA brought it down from 4 to 3. So I'm good with it. As long as the players are not complaining about having too little or too much, I'm good with three. Right. Until I hear otherwise from actual NFL players and the union there.
I think that's, you know, we go back to what I just said about college administrators and the ACC actually, you know, being cognizant of what their student athletes want, which, what a foreign concept in the year of our Lord 2023, but the players should be the ones who are, you know, the players and the Players Association should be the ones that are telling the league how this should be run. They're the ones out on the field.
They
not,
know their bodies. They
not
know
Roger
the toll.
Goodell
yeah.
and his staff. It's the players. They should be the ones who are telling us yay or nay to this, at least in my opinion. So, yeah, I was good. I'll be 100% honest with you. I love football, so I didn't necessarily hate four. I think toward the end of it being four preseason games, it got to be a little bit old because it just like, okay, we just need to play the regular season and get some meaningful games in here. But I could see where it'd be valuable to the guys, like I said, in the roster bubble or rookies that are, you know, looking to make the team, make a splash, and so on and so forth. But you're free to weigh in on that at KGYMradio.com, courtesy of our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Do have a couple preseason games tonight. The bulk of the action, of course, is this weekend. But two tonight, you've got C.J. Stroud, his NFL debut of sorts. Not, of course, true NFL regular season game, but you'll see him on the field with the Houston Texans tonight. They're up in New England. And the Vikings taking on the Seattle Seahawks tonight at 9 o'clock. There was a texter earlier. I mentioned the NFL week 15 or week that was surrounding the Iowa women's basketball scrimmage on October 15th. 99.52 asking, yes, it is. You're still listening. Thank you, 99.52, for my Vikings prediction. And I will say this: I'm not trying to cop out of giving you an answer. 99.52. Going to be making my official college and NFL predictions probably the week before the season. Obviously, I'll make my picks weekly for the games of the week on the show. Have not made my official NFL prediction or NFC North prediction, but I think the NFC North is going to come down to the Vikings and the Lions. And I've said before on this show, I think the Vikings are going to win the division. I think they're the better team, but the Lions have a lot of hype. I'm not necessarily buying into the Lions hype, but I think the Vikings as of right now are the class of the division. The Lions are probably second. This is top of my head, August 10th. My official prediction could change, but Vikings, Lions, and then Packers, Bears are interchangeable at this point. Would not be surprised if the Packers challenged for a playoff spot. That's if Jordan Love turns out to be what a lot of people think he can be, if the defense plays better. The Bears, I think they'll be better. Will it be much better than 3-14? I don't know, but I think it was USA Today had three teams finishing 7-10, which I was kind of surprised at. I thought their predictions were quite a bit off when they had their record predictions a few weeks back, but I think it's Vikings, Lions, and then Bears, Packers interchangeable. Probably Packers slightly ahead just because, you know me, Packer fan. So that's my early NFC North prediction right now. So Vikings, I think, will win the division again.
Vikings just seem like about an 11-ish win team.
Yeah.
If I'm thinking about like 10, 11, which I don't think the NFC North is going to be particularly good. So, you know, 10 wins might win you the division. Right. 11 wins will probably win you the division. So that's kind of, again, initial kind of thoughts on the Vikings. It's kind of how they kind of give the vibe of not like super elite with, you know, not like the 49ers or super bowl
elite
contenders.
The Eagles, yeah. Right, yeah.
But firmly in the playoff picture.
99-52, Kirk Cousins MVP. I wouldn't go that far.
If there were to be an MVP on that team, you could see the first wide receiver.
Justin
MVP.
Jefferson?
Yeah.
Yeah, easily. I go Jay Jettas over Kirk Cousins. But I think the Vikings are the class of the division. I don't know. I mean, the NFC North, again, kind of like the National League Central and the American League Central, is going to be a not-so-great division. But hope that answers your question, 99-52. I think the Vikings are the class of the league. We'll see. It's going to be an interesting year without number 12 quarterbacking the green and gold up there in Green Bay. Quick look at baseball. Let's check out the baseball scoreboard from today. Three games in the books. Twins lose to the Detroit Tigers again today. That is losing 3 of 4 to their AL Central rivals. The Twins dropping to 60-57. Tigers with a 3-0 shutout win over the Twins over at Comerica Park. Braves were down, or the Pirates, excuse me, were down 4-0. They come back to win over the Braves, 7-5 over at PNC Park. The Orioles beat the Astros 5-4 today as well. One game still in progress. Pardon me, the Guardians leading the Blue Jays 4-3 over in Cleveland. Four more games tonight. You've got the Cardinals and the Rays, the Nationals and the Phillies tonight as well. Red Sox hosting the Kansas City Royals, and you've got the Dodgers hosting the Colorado Rockies. The big story in baseball from last night was former Detroit Tiger Michael Lorenzen, no-hitter last night. 124 pitches, 9 innings pitched, complete game. No runs, no hits, walked 4 and struck out 5, the 14th no-hitter in Phillies history. Here's Lorenzen on how he felt after tossing that no-no last night against the Nationals.
It's unbelievable, to be honest. You know, I've always dreamt about being able to throw a no-hitter and having the opportunity. And, you know, Skip gave me that opportunity to go 120-plus pitches. And, man, it was incredible. Hats off to JT for game two and me again not shaking at all and just being on the same page. I'm just blown away.
It's like going out to the mound in the ninth to get the standing ovation. Yeah. You know, no hitters on the line.
That was the coolest moment of my baseball career, going out there for the ninth.
Michael Lorenzen, the no-hitter last night in a 7-0 victory for Philly over the Nats. Nick Castellanos, let the memes flood through us. Nick Castellanos, 2 home runs last night, now 200 for his career. And an awesome story, Weston Wilson, first Major League home run in his MLB debut for the Phillies. First at bat was a home run. 2,836 plate appearances in the minor leagues for Weston Wilson. He was a 17th round pick of the Brewers back in 2016 out of Clemson. Did actually play in the Midwest League back in 2017, so you may have actually seen him play against Cedar Rapids then when he was with the Timber Rattlers. Ended up getting released after last year, was signed by Philly, played with Lehigh Valley, hit 260 in 100 games there. And, after 2,800-plus plate appearances in the minor leagues, his first MLB hit is a home run. So a pretty cool story there. Not only that, you had the no-hitter. So a special night last night in Philly. Like I said, they'll wrap up that series tonight. Patrick Corbin, speaking of former Colonels, Patrick Corbin will go against Aaron Nola at 5:40 out there in Philly. All right, that'll wrap up Spencer on Sports, the real show for today. We'll be back in about an hour or so, filling in for Todd today between 4 and 6, pardon me. So hope you hang out then between 4 and 6 here on KGYM. Isaac will be here too, so we'll get the band back together and bring in more sports talk coming up between 4 and 6. Plenty more to come in the gym class in the next hour. They've got Jeff Johnson joining them today between 3 and 4, plus much more analysis from the biggest stories of the day right here on KGYM. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. We'll see you again at 4 here on KGYM.